So I've every time I've done a hair analysis over many years, I mean, every 3 or 4 years I do one, and my copper is always off, literally off the charts. Does that tell you anything? Am I a copperhead from a copper planet or something?
Well, what I did is
just off the top of your head, does that mean anything?
Well, let me give you a reason that copper's in my mind for the past year.
Okay.
I own a health food store, and people come in going, I've got this form of disease. And the second, one in two people now have this form of disease. They're getting cancer.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do for me? It's like, well, my gosh, what can a person walk into a health food store and ask a clerk and with any intelligence to say, oh, this is what you need. Everybody comes in and says, I need this, I need that. So-and-so's aunt had this cancer and they did this. Because people are grasping for straws. They don't know what they need on an alternative basis, because there's a few cancer hospitals in the country that do this, but not a lot. So I went into PubMed.gov. That's publicmedicine.gov. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go to it. Mm-hmm. And I put in the word, just for an example, liver cancer. Mm-hmm. And then I put a word after. It's called apoptosis. Now, that is the word that means cancer cells will commit suicide. And if you put in radiation, there's thousands of articles. You put in chemotherapy and the various drugs. You know, they want to describe how their stuff gets cancer cells to commit suicide. Well, on the alternative side, I put everything in from vitamin A to zinc. I mean, I don't care if it was blueberries. I don't care if it was the hair of a wildebeest. I've got about 100 different things that I put in there. And I come up with all the known forms of cancer as to what would be something in the alternative field you should be looking at. Well, the number three or four thing right across the board in every paper I wrote was copper and zinc. You've got to have good copper zinc. Now, I heard your advertisements talking about superoxide dismutase.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually the name of a gene in the human body that regulates the copper-zinc ratios in the body.
Hmm.
Very, very critical gene to have functioning, because when the copper-zinc ratios get out of whack, you're losing control of thousands of genes. Zinc is so, and copper are so intimately involved in so many genes. When these genes either get turned or on or off, when they're not supposed to be on or off, then you run into a lot of problems with cellular maintenance. So getting a tissue of your hair analyzed for your copper zinc ratios is something you're striving to balance.
I see. So even if you're taking a good probie like the Living Streams or something else, you could be have these things out of whack, so to speak, because of innumerable ideas, right? We don't know all the reasons why. So there could be a way that you could help balance them if you knew the ratios. Is that what you're saying?
Let me give you my basic line on this. Now, we initially started off, and I said gravity, magnetism, weak and strong electrical forces ended up being iodine, selenium, boron, and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to selenium. Selenium is negative 2. Now, the good maker of our body found selenium to be so important, he put it on the tail and the head of every male seed.
Well,
now, if you take a look at how men lose those seeds, and if we don't put it in enough, we go into a deficiency state. So we don't live as long as our counterparts because we're constantly attempting to gift our selenium to our mates.
So when you lose, I see. Yeah.
Well, if you lose too much of that negative 2 selenium, you're losing control of the positive 2s, and zinc's positive 2, copper's positive 2, chromium's positive 2, iron's positive 2. So you start having a lot of minerals get out of whack because they're not being controlled and regulated by the antioxidant system ultimately run by selenium.
Wow. Maybe that's one of the keys that in the Taoist tradition, which would go back thousands of years, they have all kinds of different systems and practices and meditations and things you can do to not ejaculate the seed, but have all of the orgasms you want by ejaculating, and you never lose it. Isn't that cool?
Never heard of it, but sounds cool to me.
Yeah, maybe I can teach you. Well, I'm learning it myself. I've been learning it for years. Yeah, you know, and it's also interesting that Ayurvedic medicine talks a lot about limiting the amount of ejaculations, you know, because of longevity. So maybe that's one of the keys to that. You might have discovered something. You could write a book on sex, Doc.
They did not have the knowledge we have.
But they knew intuitively, though, right, to do it.
Well, sure, they knew intuitively.
Yeah.
But they didn't know what foods that had high selenium that you could take to replenish it.
Yeah. How about Brazil nuts? They're good ones, right?
That's the number one source. Now, of course, let's just say broccoli is a good source of selenium, too. And I have a garden that has no selenium. How much broccoli do I have to eat to get selenium? You know, people actually answer that question.
Do I got to have like four bunches a day or what do I got to have?
Yeah. So if it's not in the soil.
Yeah.
Or the plants don't have the ability to absorb what's in the soil, which has now become very common. We have many, many empty harvests going on now.
Sure, yeah. At the beginning of the show, Mark writes in, the guest mentioned iodine as one of the keys. So how do we know how much to take? Patrick advertises, a little plug for ours. We do an agrocasey atomidized or detoxified iodine. Fellow in Georgia makes this really good product. So how would we know how much of this, whether it be Edgar Casey stuff that we promote or Lugol's or I don't know, there's a lot of them out there. How would we know how much to take?
Well, the gentleman that invented Lugol's, I shouldn't say invented, the one that discovered how to put it together, actually has a lab in Colorado.
Yeah.
And you call him up and you fling a little bit of cash at him and he sends you a bunch of iodine and then you pee in a cup for 24 hours and mail it back and he'll tell you how much iodine is in that cup, how much bromine and how much fluoride is in that cup. So you'll find out if you're saturated with iodine or you're expelling minerals you don't want or need, such as bromine and fluoride. And then from there, I listen to other people that are experts. And a dear friend of mine is Dr. David Brownstein.
Yeah.
And he's got 12 different books out. And he's like, you know, everybody, he used to stand by everybody should have 25 milligrams. I don't mean micrograms, milligrams of iodine a day. And I kind of raised my eyebrows.
That's a lot.
Well, I think the rule of thumb with him now is like 12 milligrams a day. I mean, it's like a day. So when you look at these minerals and some of their functions, I'll go back to iodine and say iodine is a great antibacterial substance. So if it's an antibacterial substance, think of your greatest loss of iodine. Well, that's the skin. And why is it in the skin? It's to control all the bacteria and things that could live on you and in you. Selenium is the antiviral mineral. You take a look at all the viruses that are out there. They don't grow into people that are really good and got a lot of selenium. You had a product, we talked about fungus, even in your advertisement. Fungus is controlled by boron.
The old fungus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Mayo Clinic in 1999, what issue was it? September 10th, 1999, they say that 96% of sinus infection is fungus.
Oh, you mean like the candida overgrowth or mold maybe too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had heard.
Isn't that mold story amazing? I mean, you can't believe I felt the difference in my home. I felt it.
Well, I personally went out and bought an ozone generator that I could saturate every ounce of the atmosphere. But boron is the key to controlling this fungus within the human body.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we have.
Keeps coming
had,
up. That keeps coming up.
Yeah. So I look at these, you know, these minerals are there to help us as a live unit keep control of the fungus and the mold. Do we have viruses? Yeah, we have good viruses in it. Just the noteworthy ones that make the bad news. But there are good viruses that keep us going. We have bad bacteria. We have great bacteria. You can't live without bacteria. And as much as we can talk about the human genetic code, about 95 or 98% of the genes as a total human being are actually the gut bacteria.
95% of the human genes are gut bacteria?
Oh, yeah. We have a code.
We are just one big bacteria, baby.
where a walking bag of bacteria is right.
Wow.
And when those bacteria get out of whack, when the wrong bacteria slip past your stomach because you're low on hydrochloric acid. Or the sugars don't get digested in your stomach because your saliva is not right. You know, bad things happen.
So is that a good argument for being careful with doing any kind of carpet bombing stuff for the body and working more with the biome and kind of Wayne's products to help let the body figure it out rather than us trying to seek and destroy, you know, like the military and that kind of stuff?
You know, people come to me and they've traveled great distances. I try to look at everything they've had done and say, well, where's the missing component? Why are you still sick? And when I say, well, have you ever had a hair test done? And they go, no, why would I test my hair? Because I'm going to find out where at least a 30-year genetic code through your brain can be functioning. So if you put a person on a detox path, for example, mercury. I mean, how many people have got mercury-based fillings and are excreting it? And when you put them on that mercury detox path and you do a hair test and 3 months later, the mercury goes down, but five other minerals go right through the roof because the body has been withholding all of these minerals and the detoxification pathways turn on. So you don't get better overnight. You've got to get the heavy metals out to get the good minerals in. It puts the good minerals in, it forces the bad minerals out. Now, what I found quite interesting is a plant that's called corn, that the number one mineral deficiency worldwide for corn not to grow is boron deficiency.
Now, wait a minute. Okay. So the number one, repeat that.
The number one mineral deficiency in corn crops worldwide is a boron deficiency.
So the all the corn grown, which is mostly GMO, it doesn't have any boron?
No. The reason for corn crop failure worldwide, in any way you want to look at it, is boron deficiency.
I see.
And when I found out that boron was the number two mineral found in the brain, it got me into thinking the combination of boron and sodium. Now, when I think of sodium as something that will retard growth, I think of the guy that has a collection of McDonald's hamburgers for 30 years sitting on a shelf, and they don't age, they don't mold, they don't rot, they don't do anything. They are so well preserved because of the sodium that nothing reacts. And boron is a mineral also that helps your body. It's an antiseptic, so to speak, and it's in the brain to keep bad things growing. But that fluid, the third most abundant fluid of the human body, cerebrospinal fluid, is also a holding ground for things that the body does not know what to do with, so it sequesters it in this fluid. This is why, I mean, when you the list of minerals in the brain, I looked at this and I'm like going, oh my gosh, I mean, there's more bromine in the brain than there is iodine by almost a 2-to-1 ratio? And I went back and I listened to one of Dr. Brownstein's speeches. I says, David, you give somebody a lot of iodine and they got horribly sick with a bad headache. And you did it again and you monitored the bromine levels and you said the bromine levels went sky high right after the iodine went in and then diminished after 8 hours and the headaches went away. So I called David up and he says, where is this bromine being stored? He says, oh, wherever they store halogens. And I says, you don't really know. I said, it's being stored in cerebrospinal fluid. So the body puts the iodine in the cerebrospinal fluid, and it acts like putting two north magnets together, and they repel each other. The body wants the iodine in the cerebrospinal fluid, and it pumps the bromine out. So when we get the detoxification process started in the body, it starts taking all these other heavy metals found in cerebrospinal fluid and pushes it into the lymph, and we collect the hair, and we'll see 3 and 4 months later these mineral levels peak right out. And a person will go, my gosh, I'm getting worse. I go, oh, I'm not too sure about that. You're now getting rid of what's been stored in you for a long time.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. You remember, you know, Dr. Huggins, Hal Huggins, right?
I got a chance to meet him.
Yeah, what a guy. What a guy, man. He is.
And I actually spent an hour with him. I even gave him a treatment. Of course, he didn't hear very good, so you know he had a microphone. Yeah. And I said, Hal, I says, I sent you my book, Minerals and Genetic Code. Yeah, yeah. And I says, I read yours. And I says, Hal, I says, you even wrote in the book 1990 that you found mercury in semen. He goes, yeah. He says, why is it there? He shook his head. He says, I don't have any idea why it's there. I said, I just found it there. And I says, Hal, I said, the reason it's there is because of selenium. And he shook his head. He goes, selenium's a bad mineral, Richard. And I says, Hal, you wrote that book in 1990. They didn't even come up with the word organic selenium until 2001. And that was the end of the conversation. And on the flight home from Utah, I says, what did I tell Hal? Hal told me the mercury was there. And I started to think about this. And if a female is very low in selenium, and she may have yeast and fungus and other things growing, and her male counterpart is actually depositing heavy metals like mercury and cadmium and lead in the reproductive tract, we might have a heavy metal basis for ovarian and cervical cancer. Whoa. And when I went back and looked that up, I found out the Russians kind of think the same thing too, and that was in PubMed.
Wow. That's a so my, trip. My That's crazy.
Yeah.
Jeez, man. You know, it was funny with Dr. Huckins. You know, he used to do these blood tests, right? What do you call them? He had a name, but he did thousands of them where he took people's blood and tried to work with them nutritionally. And he claimed that people that did just straight sodium chloride, you know, just the pickling and canning salt, you know, just the,
yep.
you know, just,
yep.
he claimed that they had better blood data than the people on sea salt.
Maybe that's so, but you got to be careful of the kosher salt because Morton's kosher salt, now the last time I checked the ingredient list, it had aluminum in it.
Yeah, this is different, you know, the pickling and canning, but I wonder if there's could be any. Yeah, every time I was on the show, he always said, no, you know, the people that just do the pickling and canning salt do better than people on sea salt, but, you know, then I would do it for about 3 weeks, and I said, no, man, I'm going to go back to my good sea salt. I want all these minerals and stuff, so I don't know. He was a real interesting fellow. We had him on the show a lot. What a great guy.
Well, in the book that's coming out, Minerals for Acupuncture Meridian, in the field of acupuncture, they have some laws, and they're called the husband-wife domination law, which has nothing to do with our life. It has to do with one mineral dominating another, and then one organ dominates another. The classic example is the heart dominates the lung meridian.
Yeah.
Well, I look at this. The heart has to be strong enough to take unoxygenated blood, push it to the lungs, get oxygenated, and come back into the heart to get pumped to the rest of the body. Another one is the small intestine dominates the large intestine. Well, that's the gut bacteria in the small intestine then dominating the large intestine bacteria. But if you reverse these cycles, you can get into some trouble. And so we're talking about bromine. When I talked to Brownstein, I says, David, I says, how are you getting the bromine out of people? He says, I'm giving them salt. I says, you mean just a little bit of salt water every day? He says, yeah, you just keep pushing that sodium chloride in and you can force the bromine out.
Wow.
Sodium chloride pushes the bromine out and sodium pushes the aluminum out.
So if you were working with somebody that had brain kind of Alzheimer's kind of ideas, what kind of things would you recommend you give grandma or grandpa that's going through this? Could you play around with it?
Well,
I know you don't do medical advice, but you know, just for fun.
I'll tell you what my thoughts are on that. Yeah. You can go to YouTube and type in calcium magnesium and you get a very lovely lady who will explain how all the muscle contractions in your body are based on the balance between calcium and magnesium and how inside the cell is all the magnesium keeping all the calcium outside. And when the calcium leaks in, it sparks a reaction called a contraction and then the cell is to push it out. This is an example of a strong relationship between calcium and magnesium. Both minerals are plus two. Now, you have a nerve that has to function. This is a sodium potassium. Same thing. Two minerals, the same electron valence, pushing against each other and repelling each other, making your nerves work. And I'm going, well, we got plus one down. We got plus two down. What about plus three? Boron is a plus three mineral. Aluminum is a plus three mineral. If boron is the second most abundant mineral in cerebral spinal fluid, And its relationship to aluminum has to be considered. Well, what if there is not a strong magnetic relationship and its greatest attribute is a weak magnetic relationship? This would explain why the cerebral spinal fluid is full of boron repelling aluminum. If boron is there to relax, And aluminum is a contractile. If your boron-aluminum ratios get too far off and the lymphatic system clamps up, it's no different than saying that brain is constipated. It's not getting rid of the proteins, and they can build up and they can clump. And then you have all the ramifications of constipations of the brain. Now, if this system is so recognizable, why is it only 3 years ago they actually found the system? Because it's such a minute system and it operates so delicately, it took them a long time to figure this out. And I look at Alzheimer's diseases as the cerebral spinal fluid lymphatics have been cramped and the proteins are not clearing out of the brain in an adequate way. Hmm. Now, how does that relate to giving medical advice? Well, I'd get a hair test and find out where the aluminum is. Now, Chris Exlier from the University of Keeley.
We've had him on the show. Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's kind of a pen pal. I never really talk much to him. Your article's getting great traction in the United States. Don't know why it's the headline. Why it's not the headlines. You know, he's basically proven the direct link between Alzheimer's and aluminum.
Yeah.
He says there's a big play of multiple sclerosis and aluminum, and I think it's underscored, to tell you the truth.
Here's another email for Richard Olry, who's on the show. Thanks for being here this morning. This is great fun. Can you please ask your guest about the timing of taking minerals? I prefer to take my calcium, magnesium, D and K, and zinc and selenium away from meals so that the minerals don't get bound up by fiber and phytates. Isn't food in phytates, but most companies recommend to take them with food. Any advice?
Taking your supplements that are needed and prescribed are better than not taking them. And if you want to carry a stopwatch around and set it for every hour, just get the book Minerals for the Genetic Code, and I can tell you when it's at peak regeneration.
That's right.
I mean,
oops, so time to take my magnesium.
Oh, I thought about doing that. I'm like, you know.
You could do an app for that, you know, do an app.
Yeah, they probably do an app for that. But, you know, people get too hung up on when to take it. It's like once it's in the body.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Oh. I mean, it might matter. Maybe research will prove me wrong. But taking it's better than not taking it. Some people prefer to take their magnesium before they go to bed because what? They get a lot better sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not regenerating from 10 at night to 5 in the morning, you got a major problem. And if you tell me the time of day you consistently wake up at night, it's really easy to figure out what minerals are out of balance. All you got to do is look at the book and say, I'm waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, you got a problem with potassium. And if potassium is involved with the liver, are you taking medicines or are you doing something that's not letting the liver work right? You wake up at 3 in the morning. There, you got a calcium magnesium imbalance. I mean, I've had people come in and say, I think I broke a bone. And I say, what time did you wake up last night? I woke up at 3 o'clock and I was hurt. And I said, you broke a bone. That's when the body's regenerating it. If you're not waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you probably didn't break a bone. You're going to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning? Well, that's a noble gas time. I would be thinking about what I'm thinking about as opposed to looking for a biological solution. You're going to wake up at midnight? You got a gallbladder problem. You're going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning? You got a vitamin D problem.
Susie Q from Kalamazoo, up near you. Can Dr. Olry discuss selenium? Is it important for the genetic code? Is it dangerous to supplement at home? Well, you've talked a lot about it. Anything you can add from what we've talked to during this show?
Well, iodine is the heaviest, most dense metal the body absolutely has to have. It's stored and regulated by the thyroid. Selenium, on the other hand, is a mineral stored in the reproductive organs.
Hmm.
Now, go back to iodine. Let's say you have a swimming pool and you're going to draw your house water off of that big swimming pool. In the human body, iodine, that would be called T4. You have a big pool of iodine. It's just kind of waiting its turn to be used. And the body has to convert something with 4 iodine molecules, something into 3 molecules. That's called T3. And to do it, that's called the thyroid stimulating hormone. Well, that's a selenium-based product. So if you don't have selenium, your thyroid doesn't work right. And there's all kinds of research that's proven this out. And selenium is indispensable for controlling the antioxidants. Now, we've talked for almost 2 hours, and Patrick's got my brain working at high gear. I'm generating all kinds of hydrogen peroxide in my brain, and I've got the selenium molecules in that brain mopping up that O2 so that I don't have cellular damage. Selenium, as far as I'm concerned, selenium is the basis of the entire antioxidant system. And I don't care what anthocyanin you want to look at, what subform of vitamin C you want to look at. It's all based around the antioxidant system, and you have 24 genes that deal with selenium, and they're so unrecognized, they only know what 16 of the 24 actually do.
LC is in Las Vegas. Good for you, LC. Don't bet the ponies today. Can Dr. Olry repeat the name of the boron supplement he thinks would be a good one to take?
Calcium fructoborate, calcium fructoborate is a brand name called Fruit B, and calcium borogluconate is basic the Now brand, and a lot of people carry it. Now there are other forms out there, boron glycinate. Boron citrate.
What's your favorite?
There's a few other. I can't find any research on any of them except Fruit B and calcium borogluconate.
Calcium, say it again, calcium?
Calcium boro, as in boron, gluconate.
And the other one is
fructoborate.
Fructoborate.
And that one there, the research is shown to have profound effects on breast cancer, prostate cancer, and arthritis.
And what's a reasonable dose for one of these?
Follow the directions unless otherwise specified.
And again, we're not sure. It's a Wayne question on, you thought that the, Zeolife has the boron in there, but we don't know for sure, right?
I haven't seen a mineral
breakdown. I'll talk to Wayne about that, yeah.
Yeah, a mineral breakdown. Some of these things, a little bit goes a long ways.
If someone does well on a mineral protocol with good HTM guy, what is that? GY? I don't know. But loose stools becomes a problem after a few months. Would you consider that as a time for a new hair test, or is this increased detox?
Magnesium is a big mineral that a lot of people are low in, and we do bowel tolerance on that.
Yeah.
And people can hit bowel tolerance in 1 week, 2 weeks, or 2 hours, just depending on the form of magnesium and how their body reacts to it. So I don't use stool consistency as an indicator. I just basically say, look, do this for 3 months. Let's wait a month and see what your hair looks like in 4 months.
Okay. How about this one? A past guest, Patrick, had on Josef Bender, designs RO systems that does remove fluoride. He may also know whether glyphosate can be removed. My question is, an elderly woman got blood transfusions due to severe anemia. Now she's being told that there may be some internal bleeding as the cause, as she's too weak to undergo further tests. Is there anything that could be done to address the internal bleeding with proper mineral balance?
Well, you probably have had guests on, and I just haven't heard them, people talking about leaky gut.
Yeah.
I mean, when the lining of the gut breaks down too much, everybody thinks leaky gut is bacteria and bacteria byproducts getting into the system. Well, the system is broken down so much that she's bleeding. Yeah, you got to do something. Without medically speaking, the amino acid glutamine is one of the major constituents to relining the intestinal tract.
Yeah, glutamine.
And that person, if a person walked in and says, "Well, I've been in so much pain, I've done so many of these over-the-counter pain pills, and I'm getting ulcers," well, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, we better get that intestinal tract relined." And I use 1,000 milligrams of glutamine morning and night on people that are my patients that request this information.
Just straight glutamine? That's what it's called, glutamine?
Yeah, this glutamine, right? It's one of the harder minerals. It's one of the harder amino acids to get into your system from your food, but you can buy straight glutamine and get a lot of benefit. Now, in the book Minerals for the Genetic Code, every mineral has a counterpart amino acid, and the counterpart of iodine is glutamine. And glutamine is the number one free form amino acid in your bloodstream, just like thyroxine, with iodine as the number one free floating mineral. And now they're second guessing that. They're now saying that maybe blood has more deuterium in it, since water is such a vital part of it, and deuterium can get dragged into the system. They're now saying that maybe deuterium is actually the most abundant mineral in the system, but nobody's testing for it yet.
Wow. So, I'm sure our listeners' heads are exploding right now.
I see smoke coming out of the ears.
Right. It's like, do I need more boron? Do I need more selenium? Do I need more of this? Do I need more of that? I want to go back. So let's say if we have a really good mineral supplementation program, let's just for now.
Stop right there, Patrick. Okay. If you said, here's what I'm taking. This is my multiple vitamin.
Right.
I'm going to look at this for two ingredients. And if it passes this two-ingredient test, then I say to myself, well, these people have got their heads halfway on squared. Where's the iodine coming from? If it says potassium iodine, that is not going to make the test. If it says iodine from sea kelp, that passes the test.
Okay.
Now, the second mineral is selenium. If it says selenomethionine or selenium from yeast, it passes the test. Now, we've got the two most important minerals there to guard us against about anything else you can think of. If it says sodium selenate, well, that's part of that test that says if you take a multiple vitamin, you're 40% more likely to become type 2 diabetes. Because 92% of all the vitamins Americans take come from China, and they did a study on people taking multiple vitamins, which all come from China, and they found that the sodium selenite, without saying sodium selenite, they go, if your multiple vitamin contains selenium, you're 40% more likely to become type 2 diabetic.
Okay.
Jeez. I mean, it's like, okay, let's get selenium out there with a bad name. And all I said, I read the article, I said, well, now we know what happens when you take inorganic selenium.
So the iodine and selenium are key to any multivitamin product. And it wants to be from a natural source like sea kelp or yeast.
Yeah, you want your iodine coming from sea kelp.
Okay.
And preferably the American Kelp Company up in Maine or the Thorvin Kelp Pulp Company out of Iceland, because they're so far from Fukushima. I wouldn't take anything grown in the Pacific Ocean is going to have these byproducts of the Fukushima power plants that have melted down and have blessed us forever.
Selenium then wants to be from yeast, right? And what's
the other? You have sodium, you have selenomethionine, which is the form of selenium your body prefers, because it doesn't matter what kind of selenium it takes in, it's going to make it into selenomethionine. And I'm always saying, let's just cut down the energy needed to make it work and take selenomethionine. The only time I would go one step further is if it says yeast, selenium yeast. That's the only form of selenium that I'm aware of that can cross the prostate membranes and try to take down any type of abnormal cells growing in the prostate, particularly the DU145 cells.
So again, though, I want to go back to not vitamins, but say a mineral thing. Say we're doing the Living Streams minerals, and Wayne says they think that it uploads about 56 or so. They've done tests. So if we're doing that every day, what you're saying is, if I hear you, all of these things we're talking about, boron, selenium, and all these important things, iodine, we can test if we don't feel as good as we think we should feel or want to feel to see if some things are out of whack. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I like to test for the minerals found in the human body and compare it to what I feel the minerals are needed by the human body.
Okay.
So the minerals I feel you needed by the human body are coming from the book Minerals for the Genetic Code. And then we have a hair test that gives us all the minerals we're finding in the environment in the human body. Now, if you start telling me that you're going to take some type of clay that has 96 minerals, I can't even test for 20 of those minerals. Nobody's doing it.
Okay.
Right. What if they're there? We don't know it.
Yeah. What if they're there? I still want to talk.
I mean, if we're not testing for them, how do we know where they're there? Yeah. So the metabolomic study done by the University of Calgary, I'm assuming that they went and checked for everything, and they say this is what we found that's made it across the blood-brain barrier and has got into the system. Now, I think there's about six minerals that have no place in cerebral spinal fluid, and I think some of the minerals that have a place in cerebral spinal fluid are astronomically high, like bromine and aluminum. I think the body is putting it there, sequestering it, so it can't get involved in processes as it has no place in the human body.
Mm-hmm. Richard Ulrey, Wayne speculates, he can't prove it, that he believes that fluoride gunks up the pineal gland that he claims is even above in the pecking order, the thyroid. Any comments on that?
Well, what I do know about fluoride is that the body, iodine sits with all the jewels. It has all the electrons. It has all the weight. But the body can be tricked into thinking fluoride is iodine.
Well.
And when the fluoride goes in and the bromide goes in, the body can, too much of those minerals acts as a repellent and can push the iodine out of the body, and the body's like going, well, we got iodine, but it's not as fluoride. And it starts making molecules with fluoride instead of iodine, and they have the wrong shape, the wrong size, and the wrong electrical activity. When hooked into the proteins are made at the wrong size and shape and can't be utilized and are rogue.
So...
Does
the pineal gland get gunked up then? Do we know?
I don't know. Ooh. I don't know enough about the pineal gland. All I know is the process is light.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot of books by Lieberman and others that go, look, the pineal gland is sitting there because it needs to process light. And light is a form of energy that can convert it to matter. And the cerebral spinal fluid is the medium of fluid that takes your thought processes and pushes your thoughts through the whole system at the speed of light.
Yeah.
And the noble gases in the genetic code, your genetic code uses noble gases through amino acids to take your thought process and be the epigenetics in the expression of your DNA code.
Yeah, baby, I'm with you there. Yeah, we've talked to Mr. Lieberman, and I think the pineal gland is the seat of soul, you know, where we hang out. And we definitely live off of light and sound. So it makes sense to me that, you know...
Our eyes actually have two forms of vision, one that we think we see with and another one that perceives energy. And there are a few people that can perceive this second form of energy more than you think. I mean, quote, seeing an aura or people have this inborn ability to do it. We just really have not been trained how to develop ourselves and how to use all the gifts given to us by God.
Yeah, we just kind of forgot how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Indians call it soft eyes.
What I'm fascinated with is when I'm in the office and my whole focus is working on people, when they bring in babies and when they look in the room you're in, they have this startled look like, what am I looking at?
Who are you?
And you just wish you could look through their eyes to see what they're seeing because they haven't been trained not to see things.
Yeah, they haven't been trained not to see things yet. You know, sometimes I look and doodle, my golden doodle, that we are so close and in her eyes, and man, does she know what's going on? Oh, man, it's like, that's amazing. Just amazing. Animals are soul, too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mona writes in from Montgomery, Texas. Hi, Mona. Please ask your guest about seizures, particularly the ones for which a reason cannot be found.
I would be doing the hair test, and I would be looking at selenium levels. Selenium is when a newborn is being created and the nerves are reaching potential, they're growing through the body. That's a selenium-based molecule that causes this to happen. And if you have any history of the wrong metals being placed in you or on you, mercury, lead, cadmium, the selenium levels get mopped up really quick. And you know, people take Depakote and they do a lot of things. And I don't take people off these medicines. I say, let's find out why you're having the seizures, detox your body, and see if you can then wean off the medicine without side effects. Again, I go back to heavy metals, and the word heavy metals is kind of is infamous because aluminum is a very light metal, but yet is considered heavy when it causes problems. The hair test gives you keys to toxicities and deficiencies, and particularly when people, they have no known reason. They have normal MRIs, they have normal CAT scans, they have normal EEGs, except when they're having a problem. I go back to the metals, and I look at imbalances between the good and the bad.
888-663-6386, email patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Richard Olry. Carol writes in, how can we take boron from 20 mutein borax? Do we just dissolve it in hot water?
Patrick, I've never done it. I know people do it, but I don't know how it's done, to tell you the truth. Because, I mean, I have a health food store and I ship this stuff, and I've never sold a box of borax to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's people out there that claim it's just, you know, it's just pure old boron and you can dilute it, but I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either. And, you know, boron is fascinating. We got a, you know, a city named Boron in California. What I found interesting in my lecturing tours, I've gone and lectured for the Apple Growers Association of Mexico. And, you know, when you've been to many seminars and there's lots of sponsors and lots, the only sponsor they had was borax. And I thought that was quite interesting. And when the peddlers of genetically modified fruit stock were down there, I've never been shunned in my life, but I got shunned and I was the only person at this conference that had nobody to talk to because all the university people were told to stay away from me because I said, you need to take, you know, minerals from the ocean, concentrate them and use them as a foliar spray. I don't believe in this changing God's code by injecting or deleting codes to create a food chain for us. Well, that got enough attention that I got invited to the Organic Apple Growers Association, where I lectured, and that was a fantastic fun time. But guess who the only sponsor was?
Huh.
Borax.
Borax. Oh, wow.
And I'm like, why is borax so important?
That's funny. Well,
if you cut an apple open and the inside looks like it's a spider's nest instead of something that you would eat, that's called a water core. And water core and sunburned apples, I mean apples that got scabs on them, they call that sunburn from too much sunlight, those apples are boron deficient. So when you go out and buy a bottle of Bragg's apple cider vinegar and the mother's on the bottom, guess what's on the bottom of that bottle? Boron.
I'll be darned. Boy, it just keeps making connections, following the bouncing ball, doesn't it, Rich? Man.
Oh, I love it.
It's just so much fun. Here's an email from Lucretia. I just ordered the mold product off your site from Living Streams. I have a friend with stomach pain, and I know that, Patrick, you've had this ongoing thing with heartburn. Is the Living Streams multi-blend the one that has helped you so much? You know, I don't know. I'm taking so much of Wayne's stuff. I have no idea why it's getting better, but it is. I suspect there could have been a, you know, some kind of overgrown bacteria but over the years, but I don't know. But I wonder if your guest believes that the mold could have been part of the stomach pain that you had been experiencing and would help my friend. Do you have any theories on that? Can the mold get in the tummy too and cause disruption of the biome?
Mold? Well, mold can kill you. I mean,
oh, good.
Aspergillus mold is just an absolute, can be deadly.
Yeah.
Now, when you have heartburn, people say, I have too much acid, and they turn to all kinds of multicolored pills, which are basically proving to be killing your kidneys because it runs all the magnesium out of your body trying to neutralize these compounds. That's not a good thing. But if your body doesn't make enough acid, the stomach doesn't empty. It's not designed to let bad bacteria live into the intestines, so it hangs on to it until the stomach has made enough acid so that the pH drops way, 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 way down, and then it empties. So if food is sitting in your stomach for 6 hours waiting for more acid, the food actually starts to ferment and rot, and the oils start floating to the top, and that gives you heartburn. So it would be really advisable to talk to a clinician and see if you shouldn't be taking something called betaine hydrochloric acid with your meals so that you have enough acid and the stomach will identify this so that the stomach will eventually empty in an appropriate spot so the oils aren't going rancid.
But that would just be symptomatic. I mean, there's a reason why there would be not enough stomach acid.
Well, yes. Well, you have two cells in your stomach. You have a chief cell and a parietal cell. The chief cell dumps hydrogen in there. The parietal cell dumps chloride in there. And then they meet up making hydrochloric acid.
Good for them.
So if the lining of your stomach has been deteriorated due to chronic mineral deficiencies, or you're simply not using enough real salt. Now, people say, Dr. Ulrey, I use sea salt. I go, man, you know, are you going to get it out of the Gulf of Mexico? Man, that's nothing but an asphalt highway underneath that. You go to the Pacific Ocean, you have way too many stuff that's made it to this, our land from Fukushima. What ocean would you eat out of? So I push primarily the Redmond salt, because that salt came from like the Jurassic period and it's got a lot of minerals in it. Or the pink salt, the Himalayan salt, are the two biggies. Other people push the Celtic salt, but as I pointed out to Dr. Brownstein on the chemical analysis of those three, there's a lot more bromine in Celtic salt than there is the Himalayan or the Redmond salt. But if you're not simply putting enough salt into your diet and your body isn't cleaving that sodium away from the chloride to put the sodium in your brain and make your kidneys work, the chloride is supposed to go to your stomach to make hydrochloric acid. You have 442 channels of chloride in the body. And if you're not supplying, so do you have to take HCl pills all the time? No, remember, you're doing replacement. And a lot of times you can do this HCl for a period of time, build your levels back up, and the heartburns and stuff go away for an extended period of time until you get the amount of hydrochloric acid in there so you can break down your food again. When I first realized this, I did the HCl. And the periods of heartburn from here or there go away. If I wake up with heartburn, I, of course, take it. You get symptomatic relief. But it's like taking iodine. How much iodine do you need a day? How much selenium need a day? Really, how much chloride do you need a day?
Yeah, you know, my thing over the years, God love it that it's finally going away, is when I did the HCl, it got worse. It was weird, you know. So I must have had something going on. I'm doing an H. pylori test I did, and so there could be something down there that's creeping around, you know, causing imbalance, you know.
Well, go to PubMed and type in H. pylori and the mineral selenium. You'll find out that selenium will push that H. pylori back down to the bottom part of your large intestine where it's supposed to be.
Oh.
All this stuff, all it did is climb up the pipe because it was allowed to.
Yeah, yeah. So if you were going to take extra selenium, what would be one of your favorites?
Selenomethionine.
Say it again. Seleno.
Like I always do. I'll spell it.
Okay.
S-E-L-O-M-E-T-H-I-O-N-I-N-E. Selenomethionine.
And what kind of a dosage on? Just look at the label.
Just follow the directions, unless otherwise told to.
And that's what your little spermies are made out of.
The tail of the head. Now, one of the biggest fertility factors in male is our selenium levels are dropping down to the point that men are one in two getting cancer, because the most important gene in the human body for anti-cancer is called P53, also known as the guardian of the genetic code, is 100% dependent on selenium.
Wow.
And the sperm counts are going down, fertility factors going down, and I think it's the complete loss of selenium from the human body trying to neutralize all the extra cadmiums and the leads and the mercuries and all the stuff that's crept into our environment, and the fact that it's not in a lot of soils and it's not in our food. So the body will hang on to any form of selenium it can, hoping to convert it on a rainy day. That's why it shuts down the pancreas when you take multiple vitamins, because the body says, well, we'll take every bit of selenium we can and we're going to put it in the pancreas, and it puts the wrong kind of selenium in the pancreas and it shuts it down.
Man, you're such a mineral geek. God.
Well, everybody has to concentrate on something. I've just chosen minerals.
Can you please ask your guest to repeat the names of the two sea kelp companies he spoke about?
American Kelp Company out of Maine.
American Kelp.
And Thorvin, T-H-O-R-V-I-N, Thorvin Kelp. And you can find them both online.
Are they out of
Eli? Eli, well, they import it. You can just go to thorvinkelp.com and buy direct from them.
Thorvin Kelp, yeah.
Yep. And they are certified organic. and the American Kelp Company, I'm not sure if they're certified organic. You know, kelp grows like a tree on your backyard, except they're underwater. And as long as the water's not polluted where the trees are growing, then you can go ahead and harvest the right species. There's thousands of species of kelp, but there's only a few you want to eat. It's like mushrooms. There might be 5,000 mushrooms out there, but you're only going to eat 143 of them that they know of, because they accumulate different compounds that are not necessarily compatible with human life.
Here's an email. I have selenium methylene. Oh, the one you just spelled, yeast-free. Is that good? So, yeah,
yep.
They got the right one, right?
Some of it will say yeast-free because yeast has got a bad connotation to some people. But the other, there is a form of yeast coming strictly from yeast that's also good. But I reserve that particular product to people that have known prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go, let's just do a little bit on this thing, yttrium. And then we'll let you go and do whatever you're going to do today. Thanks for all of your time. So Wayne is telling us that yttrium is just not in the soils around here. And why, I think that's why he has the bifido with the cucurbitum. How do you say it? I never can say that one.
Cucurbitum. Now,
cucurbitum from India, right? And that's got the yttrium?
Well, that's my understanding from Wayne. And, you know, I do believe that the type of healing that they do in India, that turmeric is a mainstay, and it's been a mainstay for 2,500 years. And then Western knowledge has figured out what the active ingredient of turmeric is, and it turns out to be cucurbitum. And cucurbitum is a boron delivery system.
Wow.
Now, so, going back to yttrium.
Yeah, yttrium. So what's yttrium? He says there's not anything in this soil. I mean, how's that possible? Why would God leave it out here?
Well, no, God didn't leave it out. In the universe, it's found everywhere. Just on Earth, there's not very much.
Oh, I see.
Many, many years ago, when I wrote the book Minerals for the Genetic Code, I started to dive into genetics big time. When President Clinton put the two big genome seekers out together and says, we're going to pay for the whole thing. Let's just get this all done with. The day they announced that, I had downloaded all the genetic code of the human body. And I wrote a program based on the book we wrote that allows me to take the genetic sequence and then run it through a filter and convert it into minerals.
Okay.
So I could get an idea what minerals are needed by what genes. Well, I can do more than just a genetic code. You have something called a genome. A bluebird has a genome, a beetle has a genome, a bacteria has a genome. So when I started to analyze the bacteria for the gut, and I would download, you know, 600,000-700,000 pages of a genome and convert it, I found out the relationship very quickly, because the first one in the bacteria field I downloaded was Acidophilus. Everybody's favorite, yogurt. Oh, yes, of course I do bacteria. I do Acidophilus. You know, I eat yogurt. So when I downloaded that, my mouth hit the floor, because the most important needed mineral, for yogurt was aluminum. And I'm like, aluminum? Oh, my gosh, this is an Alzheimer's special. But what I noticed is that at the other end of the spectrum was a mineral called yttrium. Now, just like boron and aluminum have the same electron valence as positive 3, yttrium is also a positive 3. So I go, why am I to think that aluminum shouldn't be used by bacteria? Aluminum is the fourth most abundant mineral in the earth. So I got over that, you know, I me mine type thing, and I moved on to the bifobacteria.
Bifido.
So when I started downloading my Bifido product, I found out that aluminum dropped right down to, out of 64, it dropped down, instead of being number one, it dropped down to like number 35 or 40, but yttrium went from the bottom and moved way up the pack. And I started looking at where I put yttrium on the standard genetic periodic table I developed, and it ranked up there with hydrogen and sulfur, meaning it had multiple plays. So whenever a yttrium molecule is indicated as provided by the bifidum bacteria, it inserts a selenium molecule into the protein. Now, as much as the human brain has it has yttrium, but it got very little. The fact that it was found in the brain was kind of encouraging, but the bacteria in our gut have different requirements for their function, and Wayne is making bacteria that uses the trace mineral yttrium, allowing better utilization of selenium by us in the antioxidant system.
That's the bifido, right? The bifido.
That's the bifido. Oh. So I thought it was fast. I mean, I'm like, okay, so we have different bacteria that have different requirements. Some of them I called water needed, where hydrogen is very important, where other ones hydrogen wasn't important, and the yttrium component was up there, and it happened to be the bifidobacteria are yttrium lovers, and their life cycle is far more complete, and they're better able to do their job in the presence of yttrium. So you may have heard of people that do black cherry juice for arthritis.
Yeah.
Well, black cherry juice has yttrium in it. Or the probiotics we get from cabbage called coleslaw. That type of approach, there's yttrium there. So yttrium is found in our food, but not in high quantities. And Wayne was able to make a product using the curcumin from India, utilizing the yttrium to the bifidobacteria's benefit for us.
So I wonder how a lot of the yttrium ended up in India, in the
you
soil.
Know, I mean, why is boron only in Turkey and in California?
It's curious. Probably a whole karmic thing, you know, spiritual thing going on.
Well, you know, day four, when the universe was formed, you know, we had supernovas and dwarf stars and cosmic rays. And this is where all these minerals got formed, and how they ended up in the right proportion on Earth is for us to only speculate. I think God did it all for us, and we just happens to be here in the right amounts. We just need to know how to utilize them to our benefits and try to get rid of the ones that are not so healthy to our telomeres and our genetic code.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's something for fun? I mean, I don't know what it really tells you to do one of these telomere tests. I mean, do you think it's a general, a good guideline of what your true biological age is? Or is it just more of a fun thing? Is it just more of a fun
thing? I don't think knowledge is ever bad.
Yeah.
I mean, 23andMe came out, and it was a real powerful test, and it was too powerful because I go, oh, people can't handle this. It's like, well, why? I mean, do you want to know if you can methylate? Do you need to know if your vitamin D is not working right? Do you need to know if your B12 is the wrong kind of B12? What's wrong with knowledge? I mean, if somebody did a CAT scan and says, you know, you're about two heartbeats away from a heart attack. Would you want to know?
Yeah.
If your entire genetic stability is based around the ability to contain and regenerate your DNA, why wouldn't you want to know if your telomeres are weak or weaker? But, you know, you got 203 or 204 different types of cells in the body, so you're going to have 204 different telomere lengths. Just because you have a telomere length in your heart that's weak and you're going into AFib doesn't mean that the telomeres in your testicles are the same. Because every different cell has a different job and uses different chromosomes at different rates.
So the telomere test they do is just your overall telomeres, right?
I don't know enough about the telomere test you're talking about. Yeah. But eventually it's going to come down. Well, you see, you have a known heart disease. We've run the telomeres and your cardiocytes are running really low. And we're now going to tailor your diet to regenerate your telomeres of your heart. Or that's where I think personal medicine is going to end up. It's going to be tailor-making telomere regeneration so that your genes are responsible for producing the proteins. And I'm thinking that if you don't have the minerals right, then you don't make the right proper size proteins. And the body identifies a product it's made. It says, oh, we didn't make that very good. Better send that one to the toilet and make another one. But if it doesn't change the conditions it makes the cells, it keeps making something that needs to go to the outhouse.
So if the minerals, to kind of close out, if the minerals are just a spectrum of vibration, information, whatever, I mean, it's a pretty good possibility that we could just figure out how to get the minerals from God and be a God eater and just breathe them in, which I think we're doing anyway.
Actually, I heard one of your guests say every time we speak, we're spitting out minerals. I thought that was quite interesting. I'll leave it at that.
Maybe so. So be careful, people talk too much. They're just low on minerals. Yeah, anyway. Well, Doc, you're great.
Or people, or people that don't know what they're saying.
Might that's be low. Bad karma, man. You're just, you know. Well, you're real fun to talk to. Thanks so much. I had a great time being here with you. So we're going to put the email address.
Go to HillmanHealthFoodStore.com. We've got that running. We've got our telephone number on the webpage. I do make a product. There's so many good products out in the world. You don't want to go out and reinvent a mousetrap. So I made something else that nobody else has. I made a pill called the Grand Unified Complex. Based on the Grand Unified Theory of Everything, combining that with minerals and genetics, I put in there Thorovin Kelp, Selenomethionine, Magnesium, boron, and vitamin D, and I've been selling it for years all around the world.
I'll be done. What's it called?
Grand Unified, Dr. Olry, of course, everybody likes her name on something. Dr. Olry, Grand Unified Mineral Complex.
That's correct.
And I created a database and took a look at the United States Geological Society and overlapped all the maps of all the minerals. And then I boiled it down to the last four things I talked about, iodine, selenium, magnesium, and boron. And there's no place in the United States that has all these minerals in the soil at one time at one place. So everybody in our country is either selenium deficient and or iodine deficient and or boron deficient. So when people start taking this, it's not like taking a stimulant where all of a sudden you, oh boy, do I ever feel
boy,
strong now.
I feel good, no.
People just start feeling better and a lot of strange things that they experience that nobody can explain goes away. And when the bottle's gone and they don't take it for a week or two and they start to run low on these minerals, they start noticing things going haywire. And they go back on it, and they're putting in that is lost every day in normal biological living. And we are thinking that we are getting people's genetic code to work to the laws of physics. Gravity, magnetism, weak and strong electrical forces by using iodine, selenium, magnesium, and boron.
So do you think this would go well with the Living Streams probiotics without overdoing something?
It would fit better than OJ's glove did on that trial they had.
You devil. Okay, it's called, okay, we'll put the link on the website. It's called HillmanHealthFoods.com, and right, it comes right up, the Grand Unified. I love that name, the Grand Unified Mineral Complex kind of thing. Okay, I'm going to get some because you know me. I'll just try it all. I'll get some.
You know, Patrick, all the physicists in the world are trying to figure out the Grand Unified Theory of Everything, yeah, and God give it to man in the terms of a DNA code. Mm-hmm. Now, if we took more time understanding our DNA code than we did trying to figure out what a planet 17,000 million light years away from us is doing, we might be a little bit better off in the long run.
Probably so, you know. Well, it's great, man. I'm writing a book, Doc, called It Takes a Long Time to Get Young. And I'm totally, absolutely sure that the main reason we age is because we think we're going to age, that we believe in time, and we worry. And I think that's why the body ages. So I'm doing an experiment this lifetime and taking out for a spin to see how long, just for fun, you know. I'm not attached to being here. Believe me, if I was done, I'd leave tomorrow and just check, where's my ticket, you know. But
yeah, well, I've met a few people that did it all, and they still died.
You know, yeah. No. We'll all leave at some point, but I'm just doing an experiment. But it'd be fun to test the telomeres and see how my you know, using my state of consciousness to stay young has worked. It sure looked like it, and I feel like it. So I don't know. That'd be fun to do sometime. I think we're going to get a telomere guy on the show soon. And there's a lot of tests out there. Who would know which one's one of the good ones to take, I guess, you know.
Well, Patrick, thank you for having me on. This has been just a wonderful 2.5 hours.
Oh, we've had a great, great, great time. So do you stay up in, I guess, in summer, all summer in Michigan? And do you stay up there like in the winter when it gets like 12 below and all that?
Well, you know, I'm not ever going to retire from what I do because to me, going to work was working for somebody else. When I graduated doctor school, I retired. And I've had the rest of my life for the past 37 years to explore thought, education, read, understand, experience. and everything that I'm doing that I'm now to the point in my life where I feel I should share with people.
Yeah.
I got a middle-aged man that's going to be through chiropractic school in less than 2 years, and I'm going to scale back the practice to only work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and I'm going to market myself to all the chiropractic associations with the chiropractic handbook on cerebral spinal fluid to educate as many people as I can to the responsibilities that they've taken on their shoulders to be responsible for the fluid within the spine by the treatments they give.
Yeah, boy, that's great. I mean, what a great gift to all the millions of chiropractors around the world to, if they better understand what they're doing. I mean, how cool is that? That's great. Good for you.
I don't think every chiropractor needs a health food store in their office. That's what I did. I actually moved the health food store out of the office because it got too big. But I think that every chiropractor should at least be having their clients hair tested for minerals. Mm-hmm. And even if they refer them to somebody else to get the good minerals out, the bad minerals in, I think some people call that a franchise, get people educated. So that when they're with a patient going, you know, I've seen you about 19 times, you're not responding as well as we could.
What's going on here?
Maybe you've got lead in your system. I mean, open up your mouth. Let's see. Do you have a lot of silver amalgam fillings in there? You know, do something about what we're looking at. But you got to know what you're looking at before you can do something about it.
Yeah. Now, that's not part of chiropractic school. This isn't going to have to be a chiropractor that's open and evolved and really want to take their practice to another level, right? Because you guys don't get this in chiropractic school, do you?
Patrick, I went to chiropractic school in 1977 thinking I was going to learn all this stuff.
And you don't.
Well, you go to a place where you learn how to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, some people get out and they start adjusting vertebrae and they make a good living and they get married and have children and get tied up with, you know, everything from coaching baseball to playing tennis.
Sure.
I just chose to never accept what I was, when they say this is all there is to it, it's like, no, that's not true. I mean, I look at the mineral spectrum as there's 22 minerals lighter than hydrogen, heavier than photons, and our DNA uses the good minerals and the amino acids to hyperaccumulate electromagnetic energy. We call acupuncture meridians. It's just, what's your point of view? Now, I think this knowledge is going to be readily available. Personalized medicine is the wave of the future that's here now, and that chiropractors are probably got the best chance of being the leaders in the alternative field because there's so many chiropractors, say, compared to naturopaths or acupuncturists, that if everybody became responsible for just the minerals in their patients affecting one third of the genetic code, that would be an awesome responsibility for this profession to take on.
Yeah, well said. Do you think there's value in doing kinesiology? Do you use that in your practice?
I think that a really good kinesiologist, I would let my defense down and let them treat me because that's how they're tapping into the electromagnetic energy of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in 1981 and 1982, I took my original charge to Dr. Goodhart. And he's like, do you think we should stand in the middle of a field and adjust people? I go, well, just the very structure you're in with wires in the walls all can complicate this, which led me to realize that if you have one patient be kinesiology tested by 10 different people, you'll have 8 different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
They may be close. They may be close. Someone might be right off the wall. Because then you're now testing what the doctor's thinking at the time of day it's being tested in a patient in a given environment. And I think all this influences it. And I wasn't one to necessarily abide by it, although I know a lot of good kinesiologists. I know a lot of people that teach it. And it's in their heart and soul that they teach it with. And this is how a lot of people get along, which is fine. I'm like, somebody says, well, you didn't muscle test me and you missed this. You missed it. My son had a probiotic deficiency and the kinesiologist find it. I says, no, what I said was, is you needed a stool test and it was $224.
So
I want to make sure if I'm going to sell you a bottle of Wayne's probiotics that I'm not putting you on something you don't need.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't work, you say, I don't know what I'm talking about. And if I got a stool test that says you ain't got no bifido in you, you take this bifido and in 4 months we redo it. And that bifido is there. We're going to find out a lot of other stuff that is in you is also gone because the bad fungus and molds that was taking up the place where the bifido should be are no longer there because the bifido has resumed their position.
do you have any opinions about the Bifido-2 that he says put in your ear goes right to the small intestine?
Have you ever done that? I got a different take on that.
Okay.
I came up with a skull reflex point for everything, all the minerals and subatomic particles affiliated with the human spine on the skull. And when it came to the ear, we all know auricular therapy is a form of treatment where you can apply electrical devices to various points of the ear to affect anything in the body. That became the calcium reflex point in the skull.
Wow.
And I thought that was fascinating. So anything you do to the ear is going to affect calcium in relation to the body. And since this is a canal and it has its own biological sequence, just like no different than any other orifice in our body, whether it's your nose, your mouth, your rectal, your reproductive, the breast tissue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're now coming up with what bacteria has gone south inside the canal of a breast tissue that triggers certain forms of breast cancer.
Wow.
Nothing surprises me because... You know, I mean, it's very hard to surprise me. I just sometimes have to think about the mechanism, and when I come in tune with the mechanism, then I can also help explain it. And when I heard Wayne mention that, I'm like going, huh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder what you think we'll know 10 years from now when we look back and see what electromagnetic fields how they've affected our body.
Well, first of all, don't expect any pharmaceutical company that is funded or sponsored by or sponsoring any of the human genome projects that develop, you know, drugs and this type of therapy to come to our rescue.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I mean, when they were trying to figure out how to make a Prozac pill, they looked at rubidium and they found that they could really get lithium to do a much better take. And I got all the research articles on it, but they couldn't patent it. So they ended up using fluoride in Prozac to accomplish, you know, things with serotonin receptors. Well, heck, they have all these symptoms that the doctors put the people on the Prozac fluoride based pills, and they give them the disease they diagnose them with.
Well, you mean, so these different... things that people are on, they dispensing very liberally, they have fluoride in them. Maybe that's what's screwing up their whole pineal, well, you know, spiritual wacko, and why they get so whacked out.
All you have to, I mean, if you want to know what's in a pill,
man,
go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And put Prozac in. On the right hand side, it comes up with the stick figure of the components, and if the letter F is there, it's fluoride.
I'll be darned. So why? What is their reasoning for putting it in? Do we know?
I don't know.
Yeah, who
makes
knows?
Money.
Yeah, well, God bless fluoride. Well, okay, kiddo. Thanks for everything.
All right.
We're going to put your website on the show page if people want to get the super duper unified theory and become like Einstein, mineral thing to, and then also your email if folks want to get a hair analysis. So I'm going to be emailing you too. I want to do one of these things. It's going to be fun. We're going to do it. Okay.
Patrick, one last thing.
Yes, sir.
If people are into learning more about minerals and my voice helps them, you can go to YouTube. There's lots of stuff up there for me that I put up there.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. We'll put some of your videos on the website, too. And so what books do you have there to close with? What books do you have on print today?
Well, the Minerals for the Genetic Code is on its fourth edition. That can be bought at Hillman Health Food. Somebody said, why don't you write a book we can read? So I wrote a book called An Amishman's Handy Guide to Minerals, Vitamins, and Food Supplements. And I got a feeling the way things are shaping up within the next week, we're going to have two new books up there, Minerals for Acupuncture Meridians. And please check back within a week because I'm now actually giving a date that this is going to be released, and the Chiropractor's Metabolomic Handbook of Cerebral Spinal Fluid. They've both been converted into downloadable books. It's just getting the website up and functioning so people can actually donate to the years and years of research I put in.
Oh, cool. So that's going to be on the basic, your health food website there. Yeah.
Yep, that'll be on the basic app. And I'm feverishly working on when I say feverishly work, it takes me years to do this stuff. But I'm in my third year of writing a book on boron in the human mind. I think the name of the book is Don't Be a Moron, Take Boron.
Don't Be a Moron, Take Boron. Hillmanhealthfoods.com. So that's a literally brick and mortar place in Michigan?
Brick and mortar. Yep. We service all of northern Michigan. I'm the largest health food store in northeastern Michigan.
I'll be doing it.
And the web business is a big part of the business,
and
too.
And what city in Michigan is it?
Well, we have 557 people, depending on who was born and died, in a town called Hillman. Hillman. It's a lovely little town. In my county, we don't even have a traffic light.
I'll be doing it. And so you put a health food store there.
I put a health food store there. Yep. Well, you know, you build it, they will come.
So they come from all over Michigan and check out your stuff?
Yeah, I got arrangements with the local motel, so we get people cut rates if they're coming a long distance to take treatments for 3 or 4 days, and, you know, just to get a hands-on. See, there's things you can do with people when you meet them hands-on that you can't tell by test, because the tests don't always tell you everything. You just actually got to meet a person, look at them, and then you can start asking more and more questions to help people that have got the long-term, hard-to-crack chronic cases.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. Well, good luck to you, and Godspeed. Thanks for all of your work and your help today. We had a great time. Let me know if we can do something for you, Mr. Olray.
Thank you, Patrick. Good night, all.
Good night. Good day. May the blessings be. Wow, wasn't that fun? So, you know, that's enough to get you a MBA in minerals. Dr. Richard Olray, OneRadioNetwork.com. As you can tell, I'm kind of head over feet over all the Living Streams products. I have a lot of information that I'm gathering every day. I talk to Wayne regularly. There's a number that you can call if you'd like to get more information. I really think this was a God thing, that it was just right for all of us to get some of this stuff in our body and really get to the source of things. If you'd like to get more information, let me give you Marilyn's number. Where was it? I had it here. Well, I'll put it on the show page. But I wanted to give it to you. Oh, come on, Patrick. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Got a pencil? Pen? 360-912-2981. 360-912-2981. She gives you a lot of information about what some of these things can do and not do. They don't make any medical claims. There's no, and these things don't cure the body. It just works on the body's biome. And then the body just fixes stuff. And a lot of the different things, the mold thing. And if you'd like, if I can help you, you can email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And if you need to talk to Wayne, you got more specific things, email me and I'll send you his phone number. He spends his whole life on the phone, so you can imagine. So if you do call him, please don't, you know, occupy 2 hours of his time just on your own, because it's not fair to him, because he's just deluge with phone calls. Okay, as you can imagine. All right. I love you guys very much. We're going to have a fun show tomorrow. Talk about some of the most amazing kind of calcium thing that I've come across ever that Wayne turned me on to. It's made out of pearls. Pearls? Like, you know, the ocean pearls? And who knows what else we're going to do. That's tomorrow. OneRadioNetwork.com. I love you guys. Bye.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.